Today, it's Edwin's Monday Evening Property Rant. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. It's Monday evening, so it's Edwin time. Hi Edwin, how are you doing?
Good evening, comrade, and all property aficionados and residents of potential residents of the new state of China.
Well, that was interesting. You mentioned China, Edwin, and you disappeared.
Well, you know, that's what happens when you join TikTok. they got a hold of you, they know what you're doing. Day and night, and they know what you have for breakfast, and they know what you have for dinner. So, well, look, we just got to get ready. Anything goes, Martin. It's a tug of war out there. It's a tug of war. Everybody's pulling in all directions, and I just hope that nobody gets an itchy finger and presses that button.
Well, it's certainly quite concerning, isn't it? Although, interestingly, I think Ukraine has just suggested they might back away from asking access to NATO. So that may cool things down a bit. And meanwhile, of course, in China, the property sector still bubbles down rather than bubbles up. And the latest I heard was that they're now trying to find ways to get more money borrowed into the property sector to sort it falling over completely. So, we're in interesting times, Evan, interesting times.
Look, they are very, very interesting times. And just before we came on air, I just read something that came through from an American source that Russia is going to hold some military games in the Ukraine as well. So it's really interesting. It's fun out there. But look, nothing more interesting than Prime Minister playing the ukulele over the weekend. What do you think of that?
He can't sing and he can't play. Apart from that, it was very good.
Well, yeah, I tried to join a rock band in my teenage years. I couldn't understand why they didn't let me join the band. I wanted to play the electric triangle or the kettlebell, but they said no, I can't do it. So
rings a bell.
I figured I've got just as much talent as a prime minister.
Well, you know. It was interesting. I have to say that this was a very soft, get to know the old PM just before the election sort of gig. I'm not sure whether it will help or hinder, but we'll see, eh?
Look, it, as we said, look, things have been pulled one way or another, and now there's also some are pointing towards the fact that they reckon that the Delta and the Krong have consummated their the newfound love affair, being Valentine's Day, and over in England, and having a baby. There's a so-called new variant coming along, new baby coming along. So I don't know what that's all about. It just things being pulled left, right, and centre, mate.
Absolutely right. Well, yeah. But of course, some people haven't been following our shows, right? So they didn't know what was happening in China, right?
Oh, well, look, we just got to keep them informed, and you've got you just don't put out the memos, Martin. The AFR don't you didn't put out the memos to the AFR and telling them months ago that that China pulled back on the amount of planes that would be departing from China, and even prior to that, Tarek and I have been talking since 2020 how the landscape have changed and the appetite for the interest in Australia from tourists. I think we got called all sorts of things when we said that the students weren't coming back and they still won't be coming back. There's rumours of war. And quite frankly, the people there are too scared. I mean, would you be boarding a plane to go off into what would be considered in a way a country, an enemy of the state? And that's if the state will let you depart in the first instance. But yeah, looks like the AFR have only just woken up. Or I tend to think that this particular author just found your channel, Martin, and is starting to watch the Monday Night Rants.
just a bit behind the times. But it was interesting to see that one of the other people on Twitter said, "Well, hang on a moment. A few hours ago, you put an article saying the exact opposite up. So which is right?"
Well, that's a tug of war, isn't it? Some pull one way, and others pull a different way. It's what we're also going to talk about later on, well, with what the banks are saying, what and what the governments are saying. One's calling, wanting to join forces with new property buyers, and others, the banks are saying that due to potential rate rises, we're going to get drops anywhere between 10 to 14, 15, 20%. Between 23 and 24, which is something we're going to unpack a bit later on. So, yeah, it's a tug of war out there, Martin. The world is pulling one way and others are pulling a different way. But all I know is that you just got to keep an eye open. You just got to keep your ear open and not only subscribe to one news format, but you've just got to subscribe to various. And that comes more so to the point of what we discuss on our Monday night rants, which is all with regard to property. So you can get a more informed decision and a perspective as to what's happening, not just in your suburb, but globally, and how that can and does impact a suburb and in a neighborhood in a particular suburb because of the demographics and the shifts and the people involved in buying or selling and so forth. So yeah, it's you've got to keep all eyes and ears open, I'd say.
Absolutely. Well, it's interesting. I had someone the other day say, why do you keep on about what's happening in the US with the US economy and the Fed? You know, you should be focusing on Australian content, you know, Australian perspective. To which I responded, well, you've got to understand that we're a little cork, right, in the ocean, right? We are going to get pushed in a particular direction, basically by what happens in the US and in China and all these other big international scenes, and the financial markets are global. So to try and understand what happens in the local context, you have to understand the global context, which is why I spend quite a lot of my time trying to explain some of those broader themes and some of those very important international threads, so that we can see how it then flows down and impacts the local. Because if you ignore the international perspective, you can't possibly understand what's happening locally.
That's right. And look at the property market in relation to apartments now. Look at how much the mainstream are pushing and yelling and screaming and shouting from the rooftops how there's going to be new developments being built, new high rises, upmarket developments built in Melbourne, in Sydney, and in Brisbane, all with the notion that and the perception that people would have that investors are going to come back in droves into buying apartments. But yet, it's a whole totally different ball game and a totally different story when you start looking to see who were the main players in previous years of purchases of apartments, who were the main occupants in terms of the renters of these apartments in the hubs close to the tertiary educations. And now you've got to understand how what's not happening there as to how that's going to impact the bottom line of the investors. Look at what's happening with the old David Jones building in the city. The rectification work that's required there, and the levies have jumped from something like $2,000 a quarter to $10,000 a quarter because of the special levies. I think there's something like $2.2 or $2.5 million worth of rectification work to that old building, that's particularly student accommodation. And when you're not getting any tenants, it's only one way, and that's downwards with regards to prices. And who's going to buy it when you've got strata levies at $10,000 a quarter in order to raise the funds to keep to maintain that heritage building there in Broadway, and you don't have tenants there. I know people that own in that complex, two and some four apartments. I was involved in that complex about 8 years ago when I sold one of the units there.
Yeah, well, it is interesting. And I keep getting this same story from property investors who've got these poor performing assets, right? And they keep seeing the costs of running them going up, what with strata levies and other bits and pieces and other costs. And yet the income from vacant property doesn't pay any of it. No surprise then that more are now saying, well, maybe I should be selling, and soon, because, of course, now the prospect is perhaps that prices will fall further ahead. So I think a number of people are going to get rather surprised by how this plays out, but many property investors definitely made the wrong decision.
Look, definitely, and this is where moving forward, I think we're going to see more and more. And we spoke about it before with regards to maintenance and the strata levies, and a lot of these apartments being owned by international or overseas investors. And when they're not getting the rental income, and they can't sell them, what's going to happen with general maintenance of the property? It's only going to get worse. And this is why many years ago I put out videos and I called them the $1 million ghettos. Back then, because of the way that they were being built, the way they were badly maintained and badly managed by strata companies. And things are only going to get worse. Now, I'm already hearing rumours of, and I think I brought it up before, of apartment complexes where they can't even operate the lifts and they've got to use the emergency stairwells in order to get up and down because the lifts are out of order and they can't afford the trades. And in some cases, they can't get the parts to fix the lifts, Martin. The alternative is to replace the lifts altogether. And that demands, that requires, it's not as cheaply as buying a lift to put in a complex as you're building it. Now you've got to basically retrofit a new lift in the shaft, and it's 10 times, 20 times more than what it would cost the developer to put a lift there in the first place because they can't get the parts for the lift. So all these issues moving forward. We've got issues, and it's a combination of the issues that that the Chinese people are having. It's a direct impact of what they're facing, and it's affecting us. And again, as you say, when you talk about the US economy, the global economy, how it impacts us locally, it's because, unfortunately, we we don't call the shots. We aren't the David that would slay Goliath. Unfortunately, our politicians are the Davids in a way that would be told what to do by the Goliaths of this world, which are the major powers and the bigger economies. We don't have the tenacity that we would have had in the past to tell all these major powers to go whistle Dixie. We chart our own path. Unfortunately, we've got ukulele playing politicians at the helm and guiding us to nowhere.
Well, you can scare a few people away with the ukulele if you play it right. But no, you're right. It does beg the question about the amount of significant issues that we're facing and the ability for really our political class to do the things they should be doing. But it's just worth reflecting also on the old WeChat chatter, right? Because if you think about China and what's going on. Now, I know there's the Olympics on, so there's going to be a little bit of a quietness up there, isn't there? But there's a few little vibes coming through.
There is a lot of, the censorship is still very high because of the Winter Olympics. But look, some of the stuff that has been filtering through, it's put out by the state mainstream media over there, and basically China are at the moment they're saying that they're looking for a peaceful resolution between the Ukraine and Russia, because as you know China's pledged their allegiance to Russia should anything happen. People over in the States want to keep on pushing. They seem to be trigger happy and want to push for a war. China can see from what we're getting, the information that we're getting from the mainstream over there, is that they don't want to put more pressure on the economy than what they're already facing. The stock market over the weekend, crashed, I think went down 20 or 22%. And should anything happen with Ukraine and Russia, then it's only a further drop in their stock market, and which predominantly holds the retiree funds, which is the super funds for the retirees. And so that's absolutely taking a bloodbath. So they're saying that they're hoping that a peaceful resolution is met, because otherwise freight's only going to get more expensive, and trade with international countries, obviously, it's going to come to a standstill. So they know that the only way forward for China in this scenario is if there is a peaceful resolution between the Ukraine and Russia. So that's all we have from the WeChat chatters in mainland China. The local chatters, they're still on a holiday, mate. The majority of them, because of the Chinese New Year, the Lunar New Year, and also because of the Valentine's Day celebrations. Everybody's out celebrating, Martin, today, except you and I.
Yeah, well, that's right. I'm not. So there you go. Now, let's move on then to EquityMate, right? Because there's some articles we need to discuss. And this is a really, really important conversation about what New South Wales is planning to do. Although it's got bear traps written all over it, hasn't it?
Oh, look, it's absolutely insane. But look at the image that came forward in that article. You only have to look at our Premier's face, and I think that's Matt King in the background. Just have to look at the expression on their faces on that photo. That says it all. After announcing this whole thing, I mean, you know, one saying, this is a good thing to get involved with, get with the program, and the other one in the background going, are you for real, mate? I mean, that's the expressions that hit me or come at me when I look at the photo that the Sydney Morning Herald led with regards to the article. But it is an interesting concept, an interesting statement or a way to move forward. The only way that I could interpret this is we're married, or mortgage holders are married to the banks, via the death pledge, and this is basically, we're going to be having an affair with the state government, or new home buyers are going to be having, they're going to have a marriage to the bank and with the mortgages, and they're also going to have an affair with the state government. It can only be Valentine's Day for these things to come out, these articles to come out now. But it does beg the question, Martin, is the state government going to wear the brunt, take a hit if there's a downturn, or, and is it just going to be there for the so-called upward trend? Or are they also going to stay with the purchasers, with the people that they JV with in downturns? I mean, there's a lot not said, but we can only speculate and ask those questions as we move forward.
But the point is, it's shared equity, right? So basically, the state government will own a proportion of the property. There's a couple of interesting questions there. Well, what happens to the interest rate on the mortgage? Because in the UK, where that program ran relatively similarly, they ended up paying a higher interest rate because of the higher risk, right? And then the second is, well, who takes the risk? So if property prices fall, do both parties equally share, or does the program effectively underwrite the state government? Because if it's effectively underwriting the state government, that means that the other party actually loses more. Or if not, then effectively it's taxpayers' money at risk. And how is that protected? So whichever way you look at it, it doesn't necessarily make a lot of sense. And, of course, the point is here that if you actually allow this sort of program to run, it gives another free kick to property prices, doesn't it? It makes them go even higher. And you know and I know that the real issue is that we've got property prices way too high relative to incomes or even GDP. And the last thing you want to do is to try and find yet another program to kick prices higher. But, of course, this is done through a political lens rather than anything else. And Just think where we are in terms of the election in May and other things. So this is just pure politics. And by the way, it also means that, don't look at how New South Wales is dealing currently with some of the health issues. Just look at what they're doing in the property sector. So it's always a great case of misdirection as well.
Definitely. I mean, there's a lot of incentives. There's a lot of promotion that the government's put out. There's a 15% loan incentive, stamp duty, incentives, all sorts of incentives to push this along. The question that I have with regards to this type of concept is this a sneak peek as to what they're also proposing to do with regards to immigration, Martin? Because we know that there's hundreds of thousands of people that have already obtained permanent residency, and just waiting to get on a plane to come into Australia. They've already got the PR visas, and a lot of these people are, as we spoke in the past, they are in the medical profession. They're in the IT specialists, and they're also in the in the financial sector, which are the three top most easiest ways to the pathways to obtain PR, permanent residency into Australia, particularly with medical. So is this a sneak peek of what's to come, what the what they're planning? Because if the government's going to be joint venturing or going to be become equity partners in a purchase, that would only hope that the prices continue to rise. And the only hope at the moment, because the narrative that the banks are talking is contrary to what this article would propose. And this article would propose that they're looking at property prices to rise, whereas the chatter on the other side of the field is the banks. The tug of war with the banks is that they're calling a 10 to 25% drop between 23 and 24. So, which is which? And who's, as I said, is this a sneak peek of what the Libs are planning moving forward? Should they maintain control and allow the borders to open up? Are we going to get a mass migration in order to obviously to keep this bubble chugging away?
Well, there's no doubt in mind that the property sector is absolutely angling for more people to come in, more cannon fodder, effectively, more people to buy those high rise. And all the evidence is that all of these incentive programs, the first time buyer grants and home builder and all of those things and shared equity schemes, they have one result. You might get a few people to come in, but you also have a significant uplift in terms of property prices. And none of this is strategic. This is just another tactical, short-term fix, a bit of political spin here and then carry on. None of this is dealing with the fundamental structural issues, which is that we've had too much debt, interest rates too low, people too leveraged, and of course the property sector baying for more people to buy more property because without it, they haven't got a business. This is a crazy situation that we're in. I've said before, our country is a property market with a little economy bolted on the side.
Yeah, and they've got to save the main the biggest earner for the stamp duty, which is apartments. So this is a great big push for all the new developments that are still going ahead that have been proposed that are, don't forget, the government's they're a state or supported developments with regards to build to rent, which is going to absolutely continue to hammer the apartment, the people that hold the apartments, individual investors that hold apartments in the cities or in the commercial hubs, because they're going to be that you won't be able to compete for tenants. So they've got to open the borders. They've got to let these people come in. But the thing is, Martin, who is going to come in? Because at the moment, as we know, the Chinese aren't coming. And they're not going to come for a very, very long time. So regardless of which way you spin it, they've got issues of their own. And the numbers that we're going to be talking about is a reflection of what we said earlier this year. And this is, we're going to keep a very close look at the apartment numbers coming on market. And then the narrative with the mainstream over in China was that a lot of investors that had international holdings of properties, predominantly apartments, which is in the in the middle to upper middle class, predominantly, which are suffering in the with their own local economy, with the businesses locally, and in order to save the principal places of residence, they got to offload their apartments, and they were already seeing that trend a couple of months ago. And you and I brought it up, and we spoke about it, and now you look at the numbers, Martin. Look at the numbers with regards to apartments on market. We were closer to 6,000 in February of 2020, just over closer to 7,000 in 2021, just a little bit over 7,000, and now in 2022. We're almost reaching the 8,000 mark, and these are apartments where there was a stranglehold on apartments, and people were going out there and buying penthouses in dodgy buildings developments over in over at Pymble Way, for 1 point, Waitara, Pymble, Gordon, those areas, for 1.4, 1.5, $1.6 million, thinking that that the market was going to continue to trend upwards for apartments. So, and this is just the show and what the numbers are telling us at the moment.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, it's quite clear that listings are going to rise, apartments particularly. We've called this out for a few months now, Edwin. We're seeing it really coming through now. It's coming through in my conversation with individual property owners as well. And, I've had a few conversations over the last week where, frankly, you could hear the fear in the conversation, right? Because people now are quite worried about what's going to happen. Because, of course, as more apartments come on, and sure, the agents will try and throttle the listings to not allow too many to flow on, but there is a point beyond which they can't do that. And what happens when you have three, four, five, six apartments in the same high-rise block all on at the same time? That has a very negative impact, doesn't it, on the overall price?
Exactly. And what happens when there's 30 or 40 of them in the same block? Because the Chinese investors that are holding these investment properties are demanding and telling the marketing companies here to sell, sell, sell. And that's really going to we're going to really see apartments tumble like there's no tomorrow. It's going to be it's going to be very, very interesting. Again, we continue to monitor the numbers, but even so, Martin, the numbers for freestanding houses, they're starting to get close to our 2020 figures. This time in 2020, we're only just talking about the potential pandemic. There was just the talks about it. Nobody knew what was going on, what was happening. Talks about shutting the borders. Things were, flights were still coming in, this and that. There were, no lockdowns as yet. So we were still humming along. We were still coming out of the 2019 market, and things were starting to turn towards the end of 2019 because of the amount of numbers that were starting to come on market. And then all of a sudden, obviously, throughout the first quarter and the second quarter of 2020, numbers started really to drop. But when you look at the current numbers for the same week across these three years, apartments are certainly well ahead across the 3 years now, and it's only going to get worse. I can really see them climbing back to 2018 numbers, where we had close to 14, 15,000 apartments on market, and homes is still a wait and see. But I think there's a lot of chatter from the chatter that we're getting. A lot of people are looking to put new home listings on market. That they still are relatively slow, and the slow pace is twofold, Martin. One is because a lot of the renovation work, a lot of the work that's been done to properties too, so that they can go on market and achieve the better prices, it's been slow. And not only because of supply chain issues, labor issues, trades issues, but also the weather. The weather hasn't been in the favor of the vendors or trades to do the work and to prepare homes. But things are changing, and I think we're going to see continue to see a steady rise even throughout winter is my gut feeling. That's for freestanding homes.
Yeah, looks like it as well, doesn't it? So watch that space. And of course, the other point of interest is all the banks now have gone negative on house prices, right? So because of the interest
Correct.
Rate rises and everything else that's going on the international scene. So Westpac's come out and said, 14% over 2023, 24. Some of the others saying higher, some saying lower. Christopher Joy's still out there saying, well, yeah, prices could definitely fall. It's really interesting just to see how much that whole message has turned. If you go back 3 or 4 months, people were way more buoyant about prices over the next couple of years. But remember that they are elevated in the absolute terms. If you compare it with debt to income ratio, debt to GDP, or any of the other measures, we are way over the long-term trends. So at some point, reversion to trend is quite likely. It's just a question of to what extent will that reversion be postponed because of more RBA action or more government support, etc., etc. But in a normal market, with the increase in listings and higher interest rates, you would expect prices to fall.
Oh, look, definitely. And as I said, that if we don't get the continuing steady rise of houses on market, if for whatever reason there's another fear, you know, there's a bit more scaremongering with this the child of Delta and the Kron, or whatever may come out, you know, from these scientists, these powers to be, and people start sheltering back into their homes and start shutting the doors to open homes, and we don't get the listings on market. Well, then I would say, even as you know, even if there's two or three rate rises in this year and next year, we're not going to, the home pricing won't change much. If anything, I'm calling, it'll trend upwards in terms of prices if the numbers pull back, particularly because of the opening up of the international borders now. And that's why I am, my fingers and toes are crossed, and so are Dusty's and Evans. We're all got our fingers and toes crossed because, and we want to see this continue rise, because a continual rising listing numbers is healthy for the local home buyers, Martin, because the international players are coming in with a lot more money, a lot more cash on hand, and these are professionals. Where even this morning, I was told by one of our followers, I was told he's an IT specialist, and there are a lot of expats that are coming over from California, where he was based as well, high net worth individuals, and they're looking at coming back to Australia. So, look, I'm just I'm positive that I'm hopeful, very confident that the numbers will continue to rise in terms of housing. Apartments definitely going to keep on rising, and what's happening with on the field, on the ground, is also telling, because vendors are having to adjust the prices downward, and agents are adjusting the asking prices in order to get the get the sales done on the weekends.
Absolutely. It's interesting that somebody else was telling me today, and I've heard it from a couple of the people too, that agents are starting to give ranges. So whereas previously they might have been quite definitive as to where the price might be, they're now saying, well, it could be somewhere this big, right? And in fact, the lower range is quite a long way below what the original expectation was, which is a way of trying to sort of gently manage people's expectations that you may not get anything like what you thought a few months ago. I think we're going to see more of that too.
Yeah, definitely. That's the old peeling system that came in a while ago. I shared a couple of years ago, I think, on our podcast, Martin, with the way that the range works. It's easier to promote a property by a range because you can increase the range or you can decrease the range, and the agents seem to be covered. Look, in this market, in this landscape, you just got to be mindful and watchful as to what's happening locally. You and I talk about looking at property, looking at the area that you want to buy in, or look at the people want to buy in, looking at it from with a microscope, looking at all the detail, and pay attention to what's coming on market, what's being sold, and where you can. Some agents will divulge what the property's got sold for, others won't. But if you build a good rapport, build a good relationship with an agent, and then they, particularly now, more so now than before, they know that they're looking more for buyers, genuine buyers, as to what they call the tire kickers. They're going to keep your name handy. They're going to keep your details handy, and they will give you a bit more information that they would otherwise have given you in previous months, because the tide. The narrative with the mainstream somewhat turning, and therefore that influences the decision with the vendors, with the market, with and buyers, as are getting there's going to be less buyers on the ground in comparison to the amount of listings coming on. And so because of that trend, and because agents are looking at those mainstream media trends, they will look at you differently now. And I will give you a little bit more information. So go from there. We move on to our segment for the statistics. And even what our friend shares with us in the northwest region of Sydney this week is rather interesting, which follows suit with what we're seeing and what our team's seeing across Sydney as well. He only writes, not much action was witnessed over the weekend. Observed 60% clearance rate. Two got cancelled, one sold prior, three got sold. Some observations, fewer crowds, fewer bids, no warlike environment during the auctions, agents working harder on vendors to reduce the reserve price, which is not different than what our team are seeing out there. And I can confirm what's going on out there myself personally as well. Because prices are being adjusted down. My conversations with a lot of our contacts in north, south, east, and west is that those conversations I had. Yes, there is the odd one out that gets sold, above what even the agents would expect, but they stand well aside from everything else because it's one of those out of the norm type of properties for the areas. They've got more bells and whistles. There's a little bit more going for it. You might have a view and nothing to spend. So people will throw that bit of extra money because obviously they're aware of the supply chain issues and potential issues down there in the future where they don't want to do full on renovations. So they want to basically just buy it, call the removalist to bring the furniture in, and then lock the door behind them and close the doors on the rest of the world. So we're going to see that. But what we are seeing, Martin, which is rather interesting, is in the northern region where I've been working personally over the last week or so, and that is prices have really come back somewhat. I'll give you an example of a few. There was one property that was 3 months ago was on the market with a range of 4 to 4.2 million, and now they're down to asking 3.5. Now the same agent that I'm dealing with in this property has also told me about other properties in the region where he's seen drops in asking prices of 300,000 to 400,000. For listings that would otherwise be on the market at 3 million, 2.8. Now they're going, they're down to 2.5, 2.2. And the other interesting conversation that I had with this agent in the northern region was that they're having a hell of a time getting the valuers to agree on selling prices.
Yes, that's very interesting, and it's consistent with my conversations too. I've been chatting with a few of the valuers who are working with some of the banks, and there's quite a lot of pressure there to really take those valuations down, and partly because of the risks, of course, the underwriting risks, and partly because the market is moving. And there have been a few cases where the valuation has come in shockingly below where a transaction was expected to actually hit, and that can cause huge issues, of course.
Well, look, definitely, and look, you only have to look interpret what the banks are saying. The major economists, the main economists from the four main banks, look at what they're saying, and if they're calling a drop in the market of 10 to 13% over the next 12 to 18 months. Right, they're not telling you when it's going to happen, but they're giving you a range of a rough guesstimate as to the period that they're calling. So if that's the main economist from the banks putting that out in the mainstream media, well, guess what the lending managers are going to be saying to the valuers? You've got to value this property as though it was going to go to auction in 6 or 12 or 18 months' time. That is your man. I don't care. Look, I've spoken to valuers myself over the years. I've had very deep conversations with valuers. I know a lot of valuers in Sydney. We've had our deep and meaningful. We've had our off the record chats. But I can tell you categorically, the fact that they do get mandated by the banks as to how to value a property. One, and secondly. Secondly, on this point, is the fact that the banks are paying for the valuation. So who's in charge? You're not in charge. It's not an independent valuation. And third, the values, where when I started in this game, over 2 decades ago, values back then were getting about $750 for a valuation. I think now they're getting about $180 for a valuation, and they've got to put their professional indemnity insurance on the line on about, because there is a statute of limitations as to when they can, the bank can take them to task as to whether or not their valuation should have stuck or didn't stick. And that could be really be taken to task. So they're not going to go out there and call it on a high emotional purchase price if everything's stacked up against them and they're being mandated by the bank to value out. So the narrative is, 10 to 13% drop. So you can be assured to sell on these high prices and these out-of-line sales. The values that are going to be valuing those properties, unless the individual is coming in with a 40% or 50% deposit, you can whistle Dixie. That valuation is going to come at least 5% below purchase price.
Absolutely, and it's worth just remembering this, Edwin, that the APRA change to the interest rate buffer is having somewhere between a 5 and 8% crimping effect on the amount that you can borrow, compared with previously at the max, right? So that's the first thing. And then secondly, the expectation of future price falls ahead is being factored in. Those two things are working together in a bit of a pincer movement, which is why people are getting shocked with the lower results of valuations and with lower prices. And, it's going to continue, I think. The other thing to bear in mind, of course, is that the clearance rates are also quite a lot lower, and you wouldn't believe it from reading the mainstream media, but the clearance rates are quite a lot lower. So there are lots of properties not making it at the auction, being passed in, etc., etc. So that's a third sign, isn't it, of pressure in the market?
Definitely. And this is Catherine Cashmore put out a tweet over the weekend saying that Melbourne is she's seeing things the downward trend in Melbourne. And also in under statistics, obviously we've got our regular snapshot of what happens on the weekend from our friend Tarek. And he writes he's noted down Sydney at 53.8%, 68.6 this time last year, Melbourne at 50.3, 49.4% this time last year. A small rise for Sydney, but still well below where things were last year. One of the things that obviously, whether it's Tarek's or Louis Christopher's or even Domain's, one of the things that I point out to people is, even if you see the auction clearance rates rising, but what they don't really tell you is, again, the adjustment, the downward adjustment of prices on the day to get the sale across the line. And you can be assured as hell that the agents are going to be pushing as hard as a locomotive with turbochargers on every single carriage, pushing forward and nitroglycerin at the back, pushing forward to against the vendor to readjust their expectations on the day, because that's what they're going to be saying to them. Look, the market, the price is dictated by the market on the day, and this is where we're at. And because if they don't sell, obviously they don't get the commission. So a lot of downward pressure on all what we're hearing at the moment, Martin.
Absolutely, and these things will work out, of course, as they always do. To say nothing of the international shakiness that we spoke about at the front. So I think, again, the message, of course, everyone is that people should be cautious. Don't get swept up with the BS that's out there. Just get the data and make good decisions. But I do think it's now a time for saying, if you're in the market, go cautious. If you're trying to sell or thinking of selling, it's probably worth considering, but also understand that the risks are that the agent will encourage you to put a lower price on it than you might first think. And, some of those people who bought 2 to 3 to 4 years ago, who are now again thinking about potentially selling, they saw the price go down, go up, and now it's coming down again. And what I find quite interesting in my conversations with some of those people is, well, maybe I shouldn't sell. Maybe I should just hang on and hope that things magically turn around. My observation there is I'm not sure we're going to see a sudden reversal. I think more likely we're going to see a slow grind for quite some time, because the conditions are no longer in play to really see rapid price growth. There isn't much chance of interest rates being cut dramatically like they were a little while ago. The lending standards are being tightened rather than loosened. The agents are pricing down rather than up. And none of that, in my mind, is going to get reversed anytime soon. So if you're making those decisions based on not just, you know, today, but thinking ahead, it's worth reflecting on. We could well be in a situation where property price growth is pretty much neutral for quite some time. And that, in a flat income environment, is a whole new ball game.
Definitely. And this is where our viewers, our followers, need to keep paying close attention to the numbers on market in their area. Obviously, we talk about Sydney because this is where myself and my team are predominantly working. This is what we know. We do go a bit further out to some of the northern regions and over the hills, over the mountains towards Lithgow and Bathurst. But at the end of the day, you've just got to be informed, which is what we've always been advocating, Martin.
Absolutely, yes, more so than ever before, with bells on, as they say, mentioning your little ding earlier on. And as we go, you've got another tip.
The tip of the week, Martin, the tip of the week is start learning Russian or Mandarin. you don't know what's around the corner. That's okay. My tip of the week. I say that in jest. I put that in our notes, so you can get a giggle out of it. But look, what I really want to say, the real tip is learn the language of the agents. Every industry has a language. Learn the language and learn to read between the lines of what's happening in the mainstream media with regards to property. As I said earlier on, you've got the main economists from the banks calling a 10 to 13 property drop in prices, and we've discussed the valuers. So therefore, the banks are not going to mandate. The banks are not going to let give valuers to run as they please. They're going to put stringent conditions on the valuers. That's what I talk about. Learn the language. You got to read between the lines. So for me, one of the important things for this week is the fact that buyers have got to be very careful. If you are paying over the odds in a particular suburb, if you know that whether you're at an auction or whether it's a private treaty sale or whether it's a pre-auction sale, whatever, and you're going to be paying premium, and it's going to basically set a new bar of price achieved by the agencies in that suburb. I can be assured 99.999%, unless you're coming in with very high deposits of about 30%, you're going to struggle with the valuation. The purchaser is going to struggle with the valuation, because the valuer is not going to let that one go through without scrutinizing it, without pulling it back, because they're thinking of what the banks have mandated to them. They're thinking what the banks have instructed them, and that is to value the property as though prices were going to drop, 10 to 13% over the next 12 to 18 months. So learn the language. Learn the language.
Yeah, great advice. I'll give you two quick other examples. If it's called a cottage, that means it's squitty. And if it's characterful or full of character, it means it's got cracks everywhere.
Exactly.
Learn the language, folks. Learn the language. Erwin, great to talk. As always, thank you very much for your insights. And we'll do it all again next week, eh?
Definitely, Martin. And all the best, and have a great week.
See ya. Take care.